I certainly want to thank everyone that came out and labored with us yesterday. We just the list was amazing, and nobody had any idea that we would accomplish anywhere close to that many things yesterday with one work day. But had a good turnout, and you worked really hard, and I want you to know that it's much, much appreciated. And although you may not see too many changes around, but if you go and look in the closets and different places, it's quite an amazing thing happened yesterday. But let's go to the Lord in prayer here, and we'll have a word of prayer and then dismiss our children for Children's Church. Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercies, goodness to us. Lord, we want to pray this week. There's just been a number of our folks that have had health issues and been afflicted. We pray for Sandy Klaus this morning. He's there in the hospital and with cellulitis. And we pray, God, for a quick recovery and a full recovery and quick healing there for him. Lord, our hearts are with Johnny McClung and Lord, the troubles that he's gone through this week. And we lift him to you, Lord, and pray for your mercies and healing for his life. Glad that the doctors were able to diagnose the Bell palsy and find out what was going on there. But we ask for complete healing for Johnny. And Lord, we pray for Tommy Jenkins and pray for healing and protection for him. Lord, he's had through the years a number of heart issues, problems with his heart. And so we lift he and Sue to you and pray for your provision, healing for their lives as well. Lord, we have Natalie here this morning. She's had a rough week, and glad to have the lights with us from up in the North Country there, coming from Round Rock. And we pray, Lord, just that, thankful for your protection over little Natalie, and pray for your mercies and blessing on her life. Lord, as we go to your word this morning, we ask that you would open our hearts, that we would understand those things that are needful to us, that where we need reproof, that you would prove us or correct us. You would teach us, Lord, and instruct us in righteousness, that we might be complete as your people for those purposes for which you created us and for which you redeemed us in Christ Jesus. Bless our little ones as they go, these children, Lord. We pray for the Awana orientation this afternoon, and pray for our children as they go to Children's Church this morning. Lord, we want to raise up the next generation. We pray for our Sunday school program as we come into some new things, Lord, that it will have its impact, and that there would just be strong families in our church with children that are equipped to hold forth the word of truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. For Lord, we certainly have found ourselves here, and we need your mercies and need your grace. Now open our hearts to your word and instruct us in a manner and a way which would be pleasing to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. We'll dismiss the children for Children's Church and all of our workers. I also neglected to pray for Carol this morning, but she was sick today. So, and she's our faithful laborer back there. But we're blessed with some young people that are trained and good news, CF, that are going to have some great lessons going back there today. And Pam Batten is with them as well. So we're grateful to have workers around here. But be praying for our young people as they go out, or children as they're being taught by their teachers. It's good to have John and Catherine here back from honeymoon. They're newlyweds, and it's just really wonderful to see you there in the congregation. And we're going to be praying for you. John will be leaving with his dad to go to Mount Ararat. He'll be climbing a mountain, a very high mountain, here in a week or so. So you be praying for John and Catherine. They're going to be separated as newlyweds. That's not going to be too much fun, but it's kind of a high calling, so to speak, so that John is involved in. I get some good hisses off of that. That's right. But let's open God's Word. One other thing I did want to... it's been just a delight to have Natalie with us this summer. And she's leaving to go back to Bob Jones University here on Friday. And that, we love you, and it's been just a blessing, not only for your folks, but for your whole church family to have you around. She's helped us out in the office this summer, and been a blessing to Lori and to me, and I know to all of you, but you'll be praying for Natalie as she goes back to school. Did I miss anyone else? Is there someone else going back to school that I'm not aware of this morning, college-wise? So I think we're... Matt's the one that'll be headed out this week. Okay, well let's look. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, and actually this is part 2. We want to pick up with where we were last week on the mystery of Christ. And the Apostle Paul, you will remember, is speaking to the Ephesian believers here, and he has had a relationship with the Ephesians. In fact, a very blessed and deep personal relationship with them, and in some ways a difficult relationship. And you remember last time that we looked in Acts chapter 21 that when Paul was arrested to be sent to Rome, one of the persons, one of the Gentiles that was there in the with him when he went to worship in the temple and went to meet with the Jewish brethren there in the church at Jerusalem, that he brought Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him. And he was, one of the charges against Paul was that Paul had brought this Gentile into the temple there in Jerusalem. And so they were angry with Paul, and the charges that were brought against Paul from his Jewish brothers, Jewish relatives there, was that he had spoken against the law, that he had that he was speaking out against the law of Moses and was actually taking action or taught that the Jews were to reject the law of Moses. But and this is a little bit confusing for us sometimes as believers, but the Apostle Paul there, as he went to Jerusalem, his Jewish brothers told him that he was basically said that he was to go into the temple, and that you are yourself, you can take these men with you and purify yourselves along with them and pay expenses in order that they may shave their heads, and all will know that there is nothing in the things which have been told about you, but that you yourself also walk orderly, keeping the law. Now, sometimes as believers we get a little bit confused with that. Well, now, did the Apostle Paul keep the law? But I thought in the book of Galatians he said all of these things about not keeping the law, and that we didn't have to keep the Sabbath, and that we didn't have to be circumcised. And then, you know, you read there in Acts, and he has Timothy with him, and he circumcises Timothy. Well, that's kind of confusing to me, because here it is in the book of Galatians, he says that, hey, we don't keep the law, that the Gentiles don't have to do these things, and that yet he circumcises Timothy, and then he comes to the temple and goes to worship there, and they make these sacrifices. And it says, but concerning the Gentiles who have believed, we wrote, having decided that they should abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, and from blood, what is strangled, and from fornication. And then Paul took the men, and the next day purified himself along with them, went into the temple, giving notice of the completion of the days of purification, until the sacrifice was offered for each one of them. You know, wait a second, was Paul offering sacrifice in the temple? Well, that's confusing to me, because Jesus is a once-for-all sacrifice. And what we saw in the book of Hebrews was that Jesus completed all that, and he fulfilled that. And basically, that's some of the things that Paul is dealing with in these verses that we looked at. We're kind of in the middle of things, but remember this, and hopefully this will help you not to be confused with these issues. And in verse 6 there, Ephesians chapter 3, as we've looked, he said to be specific that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So what took place in the gospel is that we as Gentiles were brought into a personal relationship with God. We worship God not at the temple at Jerusalem, but in spirit and truth, as he told the Samaritan woman. And there, what that means is that we, as God's people, have been given free access to God, to the Holy of Holies. Remember, as we looked at in the end of chapter 2, that word for temple that they went into, the whole building being fit together and growing into a holy temple, was the inner dwelling place of God, the inner temple. And what it meant for God to grant to us and give to us boldness to come into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need means that by the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father as our mediator, and because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because he washed away our sin and took our sin, and because that sin was laid upon him, we have free access and free entry to go into God's presence and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that ought to give everybody happy feet. I mean, that's an incredible thing that God has done for us. That we, not going through the law of Moses, because as we looked at last time, it was rendered inoperative. But now we've been given access, free access, because of what Jesus Christ did. That does not mean that we're under the covenant that the Jewish people were under for the promised land. But what it does mean is that those Jews, like the Apostle Paul and those that were in Jerusalem, still had a different dynamic. And what Paul is saying by us being fellow heirs doesn't mean that God gave us inheritance in the land of Israel under the Mosaic covenant like they had. So they had certain things, the Apostle Paul, that under the law, because of a relationship as a Jew, he still kept with Israel. But it does not mean that their entrance to God is different than ours. All the entrance and the thing that the Apostle Paul argued for in the book of Galatians was when those Jews came in, what we call the Judaizers, and said, well, you got to be circumcised and you got to keep the law of Moses and you have to keep the Sabbath and you have to do these things in order to have relationship with God or access to God. He's saying, no, absolutely not. And that's where he took his stand. But it is appropriate for Jewish people today to celebrate and to remember the Passover, that they were brought out of Egypt. And so if you go to a Messianic church, they may celebrate those things. And they'll be celebrating the Passover in remembrance that God brought them out as a people. And that's a distinction that they have. And there are certain covenants and promises that are given to the Jewish people that we're outside of. But what Paul is saying is that through Christ, we now have been made fellow heirs. We've been given access and granted a relationship with God, which does not of necessity take us through the temple in Jerusalem. That God's presence through the Holy Spirit dwells with his people this morning. He's here. The Spirit of Jesus Christ indwells his people. The Holy Spirit, when we were born again, when we became regenerate, came to indwell us for all eternity. And we function together. The Holy Spirit delegates out different gifts, spiritual gifts, in which this church body functions together in concert with the will and purposes of God. And so these verses will delve into those things. But I wanted to give a little bit of a summary in your bulletins and all of those things that are going on. Isn't it exciting to have that many things going on for this fall? I mean, we have ways in which we can engage and grow spiritually. And we've got just the most awesome teachers here in this little church. And God has blessed us. And so there are just many ways that we can grow in God's grace and the knowledge of his word this year. many things to offer. But in your bulletins there, with all of those papers, is one that is the outline of the sermon today. And we had looked at the administration of Revelation from the Apostle Paul. Now, in these verses, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, the Apostle Paul basically tells of the fact that he is a prisoner for Jesus Christ on behalf of the Gentiles. Now, Trophimus, who was there, and the Gentiles, Paul says, you know, I'm representing you. And so, basically, in verse 13, at the end of our passages this morning, he asked that they would not allow themselves to be discouraged or lose heart at his tribulations on their behalf. So he's saying, I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed, because there is a new thing that God has done, a revelation of the mystery of Christ that has come, and God has given me stewardship and administration of this grace of God. And do not be ashamed, or do not be discouraged, because I've been thrown in jail. That's basically what he's saying. So what I'd like to do now is, let's take our Bibles, we'll read verses 1 through 13 and look at these things. And in your bulletin we have the summary of the things, that the points that we made last week, and we'll move on from there this morning. But they're in your bulletin. For this reason, verse 1 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. So what a wonderful passage of Scripture, and many treasures in God's Word there for us to look at. I just want to make the point that what we looked at last week in the mystery of Christ, this mystery that was revealed, it could not be discovered by ingenuity or study of the Scriptures. And so the scribes and those that had written and translated the Scriptures, and even the prophet Daniel, asked that he might understand the things that were written prophetically. And God says, go on, for these things are locked away for those at the end times. So Paul had studied under Gamaliel, and he had had the best of training under the rabbis in Israel in his day. And yet, he could not, and they could not discover these mysteries. But what Paul says is that God gave me the administration of this mystery as an apostle to the Gentiles that could not be discovered by human study or ingenuity looking into the Scriptures, but was given by revelation and was made known not only to me, but to the apostles. And those things that I've written to you before and briefly about, and that you have come to understand, that these things that have been revealed are not, it's not that you cannot understand them or comprehend them, That's why I've been given, to present this message, not only to you, but to the Jews and to the principalities and authorities, the leading authorities of Rome, and even beyond that, to the spiritual angels that were over these nations and over the great empire, the great over Roman empire over the world. Paul recognized that he had been called to reveal and to give revelation to that which God had planned to do and was giving to His people at that time. So we talked about three views on the church in Israel last week, and we looked at those things. I won't go back to it, but basically there's the idea of replacement, that God has taken the church and replaced Israel. We do not hold that view here. We do not believe that the church replaced Israel. Others hold an allegorical view, but we hold a literal view that God, when it's talking about we've been made fellow heirs and that kind of thing, that we are fellow heirs with Israel, but all of those promises that God gave are to be taken literally. That Jesus wasn't playing word games with His disciples or any of those things, that there is a truth that God has dealt with the nation of Israel. But let's move on to verse 7, because I want to come back to that. I have a few points that I'd like to make, and we'll come back to it, as to why I do not believe that God is finished with Israel. And you'll want to maybe jot these notes on the back of your paper there if you're interested in this issue. But let's go on and look at verse 7. I want to deal with our passage first. The point two that the Apostle Paul made, not only is he administrator of this mysterious revelation that is given in Christ Jesus, but he also has been given through the work that Christ did the ability to reveal. That's important, because Paul's wasting his breath. He has this ministry, or this mystery, or a ministry over this mystery to different people in the world, and they can't understand it. So Paul's basically been making a contrast between some of the secret cults and things that were very prominent to the Ephesians and in that area of the world in that day, and he's saying it's not like that. When God reveals, He's making it known. So it's not just me that has this special knowledge about this mystery of Christ, but He's also given it to the apostles and prophets, and that's been authenticated by miracles. God is working this way. And so that's what happened at Pentecost, when we saw the visible manifestations of the Holy Spirit. When He came, when Christ sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And so Paul's saying, I not only have been given the administration of that mystery, but I've also been given the ability to reveal. Look at verse 7. Let's go back to verse 6, just reading into it. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, and of which, of course, refers to the gospel there, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. Now, this is it's interesting things, but Paul is saying that the gospel of which he was made a minister, he was a servant, and this activity of his as a servant was to proclaim the mystery. The mystery of Christ, what God had planned in bringing this relationship of Jewish believers and Gentile believers together into one body, making them, as we looked at in, earlier in chapter 2 and again in earlier verses in chapter 3, this one body in Christ Jesus who is our peace. Don't you love that verse? Christ Jesus is our peace. And as our peace, He took the two groups, He made them one, so that we're able to fellowship together. There's no longer any middle wall of partition or separation as there was in the temple, so that only the Jewish people could go into the temple and go into the very presence of God. And really, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But the the truth that the Apostle Paul as a minister is revealing is that we have been given and granted access. The veil has been rent. And we are able, by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, even though we're sinful people, to be in God's presence. And we ought to just meditate on those things often. That God gives us the privilege. When we come here to worship as a corporate body of people, God gives us the privilege of His presence. He gives us the privilege, as we prayed for Sandy Klaus and Tommy Jenkins and others this morning, of access, of freedom of address to God. We get to speak with Him. Speak directly to our Heavenly Father as children. And that ought always to just astound us as God's people. It's a wonderful thing. Paul was made a minister. This is his glory. This message that he was thrown into jail for is so powerful. It's so dynamic. It is so incredible and unbelievable that the Apostle Paul couldn't be shut up. He had to go. He was compelled to go to Jerusalem. Just like Christ, when he was being crucified there, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. And the Apostle Paul went right behind him there a number of years later, going to Jerusalem at the risk of his own life, because his message was so astounding and so incredible that it couldn't stay inside. He couldn't keep it inside. And that's the way we ought to be with the gospel. What it means, you know, if we embrace as God's people the reality of what it means to be called as ministers, and we threw out a term some number of years ago that we are ministers, that we are missionaries to the hill country, that we're ministers, that each one of us, God called us. And as we looked at Ephesians chapter 1 and these wonderful truths that He chose us before the foundation of the world, and He predestined us to the adoption of children, these terms mean that God, in His sovereign plan, gifted you, He poured experiences into your life, and He invested providentially according to His purposes to prepare you to be right here, right now, to fulfill His purposes. From all eternity, God planned. He preordained your steps, and He drew this group of people together to function in the church body the way that God has intended for us to function, so that we, that with the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us, would accomplish the will of God. Isn't that awesome? And in doing that, we're given this access or freedom to go into God's presence. Look at the rest of this verse. He said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. And let me just say with you too, according to the gift of the grace of God, He has made you a missionary to the hill country. You're here in San Marcos for a purpose. You're here at Grace Bible Church because in the sovereign and providential plan and purpose of God, He wanted you here for the accomplishment of His purposes. You say, well, how do I know it? How do I experience it? How do I lay hold of it? Well, by the grace of God. Just like Paul. Just like you and me. For each one of us, it will be by the grace of God. It's a gift. It's a wonderful, glorious gift that God has given to His people, that when He adopted you into His family, that He called and gave you this gift through His grace and through the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit in order to, look what He says here, and this, according to the gift of the grace of God, that which was given to me according to the working of His power. And let me say it a different way, because this working or the energy is the word from which we get energy, and it says according to the energy, the exertion or the working activity, according to the operative power of God. Paul labors, and he operates in that power, and then it's like this emphasis, this working activity of His power, God's strength. When God's people come to, by faith, lay hold of what the Apostle Paul is talking about right here, we'll change the world. We'll renovate. We'll uproot San Marcos, Texas. When we understand that the labor that God has preordained to work through us, He has, by His grace and through the working of His Spirit, supplied to His people to enable us to accomplish His purposes. And when we come to faith, the realities of that faith, of knowing that God has planned and has made He's put together every part of the puzzle for you. Everything that you need, every experience that you've had in your past, every heartbreak, every trial, every challenge, every blessing, it's all worked together. Every gift that He's given to you, all that your parents or other people have poured into you, God has, in a menagerie of a tapestry of the sovereignty of God, He's pulled these things together to make up your life for specific plans that He has, and He has not forgotten anything. He hasn't left off anything for you. It may feel like it, but I would just ask, and it's a time for a moment of meditation in our hearts this morning, if we can just go there with the Lord and say, God, I know that just as with the Apostle Paul as minister, now bear in mind, Paul's writing, he's encouraging these believers from, of all places, jail. He's in a dungeon. He's in a place that's not a fun place to be. His freedom has been taken, physically speaking. And yet, with this incredible exaltation of reality by faith of who He is in Christ, He's able to encourage these believers in this way. Isn't that awesome?